Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studios.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
Playing games start tonight. Woohoo! Woo! 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 The Mets are on a skid. Shocker. And Rory wins the Masters for the second year in a row. But we'll begin today's show with breaking news. Breaking news. Diana Rossini? Is that her name?
Diana Rossini.
She has resigned from The Athletic over the pictures taken of her and Mike Vrabel at some kind of resort. They're both married people. In the beginning, she said it was nothing. They're just friends. And now she's decided to resign. Z, what is going on here?
I think the court of public opinion has come for Miss Rossini. And is it fair? Probably not. No, I'd say definitely not, really.
Is that fair?
I would say not, because Vrabel's going to get to keep his job.
She must be guilty of something, man.
Like, Vrabel's going to get to keep his job, though.
He didn't do anything wrong. What did he do wrong?
What did she do wrong? Like, both
well,
of them.
Well, she's a reporter. She's married, and she might have been feeding him, like, information.
Okay,
right?
So he's married, too. So it's one of those things that part we have to excuse. Is it unethical? We don't know that. So The Athletic was doing its investigation, but in this past week since this came out, she did get run through the ringer a little bit. And rather than deal with further embarrassment and sullying her name, she's deciding to bow out. And I understand that. And to be fair.
But what were you thinking? Like, what were you thinking? Like, nobody was going to get pictures of you at this resort. Like, nobody was going to notice Vrabel. Nobody was going to notice you. Like, what were you thinking?
I mean,
you're invincible?
Come on. They were shot so far away, and you are in the public eye. Even though you are a reporter, you're still a celebrity, right? Mike Vrabel's a head coach. He's a celebrity. Now, whether or not they're looking at you or they're looking at Vrabel, clearly they're looking for a story. Because where are you shooting that from? That's the TMZ shot. That's from like 200 feet away. So clearly they're looking at something. And obviously you don't want to give them something to look at.
So was someone following her? Someone was following Vrabel? Or somebody was onto the story?
I think somebody was looking for something. That's what that looks like. It looks like I'm fishing for something. And, ooh, this could be salacious. So we're going to go
because
with
let's be real about the situation, right? Like, you're going to a public resort. You're going to a public place. This isn't... When I say public, I mean that anybody can go there, right?
Yes.
It's not like, you know, exclusive to only certain people. If you were going to do such an action, or if you were going to do something of this nature, why wouldn't you get something that was more private? Like, why don't, you know, you could go to Montana, or you could go to Arizona. Like, I'm not saying... When I say that, I mean, like, you can rent a house, or you can rent a spacious, you know, place to go. It doesn't have to be a hotel. You know, you can get a place that is secluded, that nobody knows about. But you chose to go to, it looked like a resort.
Because they were working. Both of them were working. It was a working vacation. So I understand why they were there. They were there for work. And it's a bad look. It's poor judgment. Yes, they're both married. So you have that layer on top of it. We don't know the other stuff. Right? We don't know the, is she protecting him or giving him favorable treatment in her articles? We don't
know. I don't think that's the case. I feel like she was feeding him information, though.
We don't know that. Like, that's the thing. It's possible. It's a conflict of interest. I will stipulate it's a conflict of interest, right? The other stuff, the moral police, like, we're not gonna deal with that because they're both stepping out on their spouses. That's a wash. But let's look at it from the conflict of interest. Like, he could also be feeding things to her, right? He could be feeding favorable stories to her. So it's one of those things that it's a bad look. Like, I'm not going to dispute that it's a bad look to have a relationship with a reporter in that high level of a position. It's also not a great idea for it to go the other way. But at the end of the day, she also has the right to have this investigated by her employer without her name being dragged for a week, right? Without being called a homewrecker, without being insulted. And we know, right, that this same stuff is not coming from Mike Vrabel because he's a dude. Like, there is a clear double standard here. They're coming for Diana Russini. They're not coming for Mike Vrabel. They're just not. So,
well, I mean, listen, when I first saw it, I really didn't think anything of it. I was like, whatever. Like you said, they were working.
Mm-hmm.
They happened to be at the same resort. They were at the pool together. Whatever. Like, I really didn't blow out of proportion. And then it just kept, things seemed to keep escalating. They were married. They're both married. What are they doing? Why does he have his shirt off? Why are they by the pool? Why are they hugging? And then all of a sudden, today she resigns.
Right. Now, it's a bad look. It's absolutely a bad look. And it may negatively impact her career for a while.
Does the NFL need to investigate this?
I think the NFL's purview is only as far as Mike Vrabel, right? They can't investigate Diana Russini. She doesn't work for them. Like, she's a tangential cog in the wheel that is the NFL. But she's not, it's not like she was writing for NFL.com. Like, they don't have a direct purview over her. They have no jurisdiction. But they can look into Mike Vrabel. They can absolutely look into Mike Vrabel if he's feeding her information. Like, you can do that. But I don't trust Raj to do that, personally, seeing how he dishes out justice in the NFL. So, I mean, you're more than welcome to. You absolutely, it's your league. You can do what you like. The same way that as the former employer.
You just wonder how buddy-buddy these reporters are with these head coaches.
Yeah.
Because reporters have access to locker rooms. They have access to certain parts of practice. They can look at a person and see how they're feeling, how they're looking, how they're moving, and, you know, what they put on paper and put into the public eye could be different than what they actually tell a friend of theirs.
Yep.
Or what they see and what they do. So that's why I was just wondering. And the same thing goes for on his side. Like, you know, I don't know if he's like, hey, you know, when you go to Floral Park, you know, let me know if you see X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Ask these questions. I'm curious how they're going to answer this, you know?
Right. But at the same time, like, Diana Russini's been around for a while. Like, she's been around the block professionally. And she is one of the better reporters around the game of football. So I think that she's able to compartmentalize herself. And I think most of them can.
The resignation is what makes me think there's guilt.
Well, I mean, you're always going to think that because it looks bad, right? We're like, go back to...
Like, if they did an investigation on her and then they decided to fire her and let her go, that's different
than
her resigning before it even gets to that point.
That's a different story, but they're still in the middle of their investigation. Their investigation is yet to conclude because of all of the layering and the piling on that's happened. So, by the morals police and, you know, the professional ethics police. Now, the morals are the morals. I get that. But it's the ethics. If you can prove that she was behaving unethically, then okay. Right? If you can prove that he was behaving unethically, okay. But we are not in the position to judge morally. Right? We don't know the state of their relationships. We don't know the state of their marriages. Who are we to say? Right? It is not our position to say that. It's our position to evaluate what we know, not speculate. And there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of smoke, but there's no clear fire yet. It's just the pictures that we've seen. But I understand why she didn't want the Athletic to continue its investigation. She wanted to get out from under it. She wanted to, you know, move on. And frankly, I understand the reason. I sympathize. Really, you get into a bad situation, optically, whether or not it is immaterial, because in the court of public opinion, you're already guilty. So she will be back. She's too good at what she does to not be back. So it requires investigating, and we in the court of public opinion, we in the media need to let institutions do their job. And they'll either vindicate her or they will find some impropriety. Same thing with Mike Vrabel. We hold them to the same account. Either they're going to find some impropriety or they're going to vindicate him. But you have to let the process go through. And the process was sped along and unfairly sped along to the point where she felt the need to resign. And we need to just let this play out. And we're going to see what happens.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Well, we'll begin today's show like we were planning to before this news broke with the Masters. Rory McIlroy became the first back-to-back champion since Tiger Woods did it in 2001-2002. We were seniors in high school, yes. Believe it or not. This is Rory's sixth major championship. What do you think of Rory's victory on Sunday?
Came back from behind too. He also had
a huge lead on
he
Friday.
He blew a six shot lead. Yes, he did.
He blew it.
He blew
largest lead ever going into Friday, and he blew it.
You blew it, muchacho. What the hell? What the hell? So you blew it. You straight up blew it. You had Scottie Scheffler chasing you down. Kudos to you for holding off Scottie Scheffler, who's a great golfer. But what does this say is that the monkey's officially off his back. It took Rory forever to win that green jacket, and he was always the bridesmaid. You know, you have the reputation that he had of never being able to win that green jacket, and then all of a sudden last year you pull it out and now you got two. So what does that say? It says that Rory McIlroy is on top of his game, the monkey's off his back, and I think this is going to be another level that he's going to be able to ascend to, because it could be very easy to blow that six shot lead and then just pack it in, right? Especially with a guy the caliber of Scottie Scheffler, or a guy, you know, Justin Rose, another guy that, you know, seemingly can't win the big one. But you had competition, you were being chased down, but it took incredible fortitude, incredible fight, and congratulations to Rory for a job well done and a back-to-back performance.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he, with this victory, it's his sixth major. I think he's entered an upper echelon of golfer, upper echelon of athlete, I mean, one more, and I think he'll tie Arnold Palmer for majors, which, I mean, come on, you're going to be mentioned with Arnold Palmer. So, you know, and I agree with you. I think no one can call him a choke artist now. Nope. No one can write really bad things about him now, you know, going forward after winning back-to-back. I mean, that's incredible. You know, I think he's also... He can be talked about, I think, in the same space as, like, Phil Mickelson. I feel like he's entering that air about him. And he's fun to watch. He's fun to root for. I found myself rooting for him. I found myself... Like, you know, sometimes I like to play devil's advocate and I want to see the underdog win. Or I want to see the, you know, the leader choke. Or I want to see, you know, things go south. But I found myself really rooting for him on Sunday and really happy for him on Friday, live in Thursday. Really happy for him. Like, oh man, you're crushing it, dude. Like, keep going. Like, I want you to go into Sunday with a lead. I want to enjoy watching you take this on and possibly win two in a row. So I'm a fan. I'm happy for him. Gives me hope. I feel like he's not that big of a dude and he plays really well in golf, so I have a chance of, you know, getting better, I guess. But no, you mean these other guys are huge, you know, DeChambeau and even Spieth, and
they're all big. They're all big guys.
Oh, they can bomb it too. Yeah.
Yeah. So to see him and be like, all right, yeah, I could play golf.
Didn't DeChambeau use a 3D printed driver or 3D printed club? I don't know how that
did he.
How,
really?
How the hell does that work? Is the PGA going to get in on that? Because I don't know. Something seems a little fugazi about that. But
I feel like I'm going to be eating 3D printed food soon.
Very soon. So why not a 3D printed golf club? But it's funny you mention Phil and how he gets to that level. He tied Phil. Like, with that sixth major, he tied Phil for all-time major wins. It's him, Lee Trevino, and Nick Faldo. So that pretty good company for Rory McIlroy. So if he gets one more, he's going to tie Sam Snead, Bobby Jones.
Oh, you know. I thought Arnold Palmer's in there too.
Arnold Palmer is also at 7. There you go. So you still have some pretty damn good calibers, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's why it's like, yeah, it's fun. I mean, I didn't want to, you know, Scottie Scheffler has been on fire, but I wanted to see, you know, somebody new and somebody different. And I was glad to see him take it home.
And Rory's only 36. Fun. He's still got time. That's the thing. You know, if
40 more years of golf,
yeah, you figure. until he goes to the Champions Tour, you're probably looking at what, 14 years, maybe somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he could probably make some moves in 14 years to get up the leaderboard a little bit more.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com. Well, the Masters is over, and lucky for us, so is the NBA season. But unfortunately, the NBA's second season is about to take place, and that's called the playoffs, which are never fucking ending. But they're beginning with the play-in games, which I believe are starting tonight. I think we get Heat and Hornets tonight and Blazers and Suns tonight. The other four teams in the play-in tournament are the Magic and the 76ers and the Warriors and the Clippers. Z, do you give a shit?
Do I give a shit? No. But do I think it's important that we talk about it? Absolutely. Because if we're going to start this marathon, we might as well start
Right. Yeah, I mean, before we get any, just to kick things off, we can all agree that none of these teams are making the NBA Finals.
We can agree. We absolutely can agree.
Proceed.
And it's kind of fucked up that when you look at all of this, you have the team that KD left is still in position to make the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
The team that James Harden left is in the position to make the playoffs. Yeah. Imagine what they would do if they were still there. Would they have avoided
without Dame Lillard?
Yes.
The guy who won the three-point contest.
The team here. The player without the team without Dame Lillard, who actually has Dame Lillard because they won't let him play because he's rehabbing from injury. So they're
the team that lost Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And lost Steph Curry for a big part of the season is here. The team that lost Joel Embiid, who didn't have Joel Embiid for most of the season.
And Paul George got suspended.
And Paul George for most of the season is here.
PEDP. There's his new nickname. Performance Enhancing P. There you go. Congratulations. As far as who's going to get in, the winner of the 8-9 play, the winner of the 7-8 automatically goes in and plays the Celtics, right? So that's a tough game. 76ers Magic is actually going to be a really good game. I like the Magic. I think they're going to take on the Celtics. Are they going to beat the Celtics? No. But they can beat the Sixers in a one-game winner-take-all. Now, the loser goes into play this team tonight, this matchup tonight between the Hornets and the Heat, which I think the Hornets will win. Sixers-Hornets, I think the Sixers were going to take that home, and you're going to have Pistons-Sixers in the first round, and the Pistons are going to dog walk the Sixers.
Well, is Cade going to play?
It's going to be tough.
I don't know if they can just clap back the Sixers if they've got Paul George, Embiid, and Maxey. Without Cade Cunningham, they can win that?
I think they can. Because in
a seven-game series? Not a five-game fucking series. Yeah. Seven games.
I have no issue saying that the 76ers are going to get dog-walked by the Pistons.
Okay.
The Pistons, at this point in time, are a better team than the Sixers. The Sixers are a fucking mess. Like, we've just regaled how big of a fucking mess they are, besides Tyrese Maxey. So Tyrese Maxey has to drag those other two. So let's look at the West. I think the Suns beat the Blazers. Suns play the Spurs in the first round. Spurs pretty handily take them. Clippers-Warriors is going to be very interesting. Very interesting. But I'm going to take the Warriors. Even though they're under 500. That's the other thing. Even though the 37-45, we're in the fucking play-in tournament, baby. But for one day, I just got to get one day, I think the Warriors can still do it. And when you get to Warriors-Blazers, you're talking about 37-45 versus 42-40. It's not that big of a jump. And could the Warriors put that together for one last ride? I'm saying yes. And then they get walked. They get scraped by the Thunder in the first round. Right. This is the equivalent of the play-in games for the NCAA tournament. Do you really think that the team that, yes, Texas made a run, right? But for the Texas team that makes a run, you also get a Canisius team that gets crushed. Like that's kind of where you are at this moment. You're not going into an advantageous situation. You're going up against the two best teams in the conference. And when you look at the Celtics, they just got Jason Tatum back. So they're healthy. And they're really pissed off. So it's not, I mean, as good of an idea as the play-in tournament seems on paper, it's not going to produce any long, deep runs. These guys are going to be also-rans. They're going to be out in the first round. But those are my picks. What do you got in this play-in tournament?
I just don't care. I'm not excited about it. It doesn't matter. Like, this doesn't matter. This is just an extra regular season game to me. Like, that's all this is. I think the Hornets will beat the Heat. And I think the Suns will beat the Blazers. I think the 76ers beat the Magic. I think the 76ers are a better team. And then I think I would say the Clippers beat the Warriors. That's where I'm going. But, I mean, I don't... You're saying that you can see a situation where... I can actually say I can see a situation where the 76ers could beat the Pistons in a seven-game series. I'm saying it's possible. Will it happen, though? You certainly don't think so.
Nope.
So what are we doing? You know, I don't know. I think it's silly. I think the NBA has a lot of work to do. They don't seem committed to doing it. They seem to be committed to adding more games and adding more playoffs. And it's like, this is not good. Do you realize the playoffs aren't going to matter for like another month? Like June is when it will finally get to like, oh, some playoffs. But I don't know. I mean, some people are saying that they think that the Nuggets could lose to the Timberwolves. I mean, if that was to happen, that'd be a pretty big deal, I'd say. Some people are saying also that the Hawks could beat the Knicks. That would be something else. Like, you know, because the Hawks got rid of Trae Young, brought in Kuminga,
mm-hmm.
and then they take out the New York Knicks. That'd be nuts.
That would be interesting, but I mean,
what soda are you drinking? What is
it? I'm drinking an Olipop. It's fantastic. It's great.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to get them as a sponsor.
It's great for your gut.
It's a very pretty. It's an orange squeeze with orange it like Fanta? Squeeze.
So it's kind of like a creamsicle.
Is it like Fanta? What is it?
It's more like a creamsicle.
Pretty it's good. A creamsicle.
Pretty good. And that's it's
a,
got the
send an email.
And it's got those prebiotics, so it's good for your gut health and your gut biome.
So it helps you poo.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's a positive.
Regular. Regular as regular can be.
Regular is the word that is very important.
Absolutely. Especially when you reach our age. But is it really an upset if the T-Wolves beat the... I don't really necessarily think so.
I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like Joker is the best basketball player on the planet.
I would argue that the Wolves are a more well-rounded team.
They play very good defense.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think it's as crazy
hard to bet
a matchup.
Against Anthony Edwards. I know he hasn't done anything, but it's hard to bet against him.
Yeah. So I mean, I would tune in for that. Knicks Hawks is interesting from the standpoint that the Hawks have shed their loser skin, and they seem to want to play a little.
They
bit
got better. Rid of their best player, and
they got like, better.
They're the opposite of the Mavericks.
Got better.
Although the Mavericks, I mean, Cooper Flagg seems like he's really legit. They seem like they're going to be okay without Luka, who's hurt.
Shocker. He went to Germany for...
Spain.
Oh, right. He's following in the footsteps of Kobe Bean Bryant going to Europe for treatment. So...
Go.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
Speaking of go, head coach, well, in this case, former head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, Doc Rivers, has been relieved of his duties. Duty. I'm sure there will be more coaches released in the coming days. They are talking about a front office position for Doc, by the way. So he failed up.
Because he's so good at that.
Giannis had an injury-plagued season. I think his time in Milwaukee has expired. The Sixers will need to make a decision on Joel Embiid, and the Pelicans will need to make a decision on Zion. Will any of these guys be where they currently
How about
are?
Also, Memphis has to make a decision on Ja Morant, who didn't even play towards the end of the season.
Jesus.
What a mess.
Jesus.
I don't know, Z. It's hard. It's hard to see what's going to happen with Giannis because... I mean, if you're a team, if you're the Knicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really going to trade for this guy? Are you really going to take a chance on this guy? Like, he, you know, I would think his best years are behind him. He's a big guy. He's gotten hurt a lot. He has a calf issue that seems to be raising up every year. He seems to be a coach killer,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, he's pretty much gotten two coaches fired. He plays a certain brand of basketball. Like, he's not a run and gunning with the, like, you know, the Warriors play. He's into set offenses, a lot of one-on-one, where he's just longer, bigger, and faster than everybody, and that's how he scores. I don't know if he's got a lot of value out there. Joel Embiid, I mean, is this part of the process? Can we say the process is over? Maxey's clearly the star there now. He's the best player there. You flip Embiid, you can get draft picks. You can get draft capital. I don't know what he's worth either. He's got a multitude of health issues. He doesn't play a lot. I think his time is done there. Ja, they wouldn't even let him play the end of the season. His time is probably done in Memphis. Zion, I think you could argue he had a good season, but it's not the season that they thought they were going to get when they drafted him over number one overall. When they kept turning down trade offers for him, this wasn't what they expected. I would say out of all those guys, Zion might be the only one that stays put, but I can see all the other guys going.
Well, it's also a question of who provides the highest value in a trade. Now, Giannis, 31, bad back, bad legs. I'm not giving you as much as you think you're going to get. And I'm probably going to have to take his two brothers, too. It's going to be the Antetokounmpo family coming back. Because if you look at the roster on the Bucks, a third of it is Antetokounmpo's.
Yeah.
It's like all Alex, Giannis, and Thanasis. So out of 15, oh no, excuse me, one-fifth, 20% of the Bucks roster is Antetokounmpo's. Ja?
Well, wait, but just to go back on that, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Right? Because now, if I take Giannis, I've got to take his brothers. I've got to set up his family, right? Because that's another part people want now. They want their family set up, not just me, but my family set up.
Yeah.
Like, is it really worth that investment? I don't know.
For a guy who's making $54 million next year, that's his contract. Like, $54 million, that's a fucking lot of money. For a dude whose body's breaking down. And to your point, he knows one style of ball. Is he going to develop a mid-range jumper at 32? Is he going to start shooting threes at 32? No, he's a bully.
Shoot threes now,
but he's a bully. He plays bully ball.
Right. I'm bigger, faster, and stronger than you. Takes a LeBron James kind of thing.
His primary style of play is bully ball. And that doesn't work as you get older, especially as other guys come in who are just as big, but they're younger, they're stronger, they're faster. But you have to be smarter. You have to play smarter.
Your game has to evolve.
Yes, exactly.
Can his game evolve? Can you become a post player?
Mm-hmm.
Can you turn your back to the basket? Can you shoot a fadeaway?
So, you know, this is the moment for him, right? Maybe this is when he doubles down on Milwaukee. Maybe this is when he says, I'm not a coach killer, right? I'm not pussyfooting around here. I'm here, and I'm staying. Like, maybe this is where he plants his flag finally. Because he started like that, and then he's hemming and hawing, and then the Dame Lillard trade happens, and now all of a sudden, maybe I want to get out. No, shit or get off the pot, pal. Either commit or don't. Ja Morant is an interesting story. Like, I really don't know. I mean, he's doing this shit in Memphis, right? And Memphis isn't exactly a big market. Like, you're not trading to the Lakers. You're not trading to the Clippers. You're not trading to the Knicks. You're not trading to the Celtics. Like, where are you going to – what market – where is this kid not going to get in trouble?
Where is he not going to get in trouble?
Where is he not going to get in trouble?
Orlando?
No, you can get into some shit in Orlando. Not New Orleans. Although that would be interesting. That would be interesting if they paired
Phoenix. Phoenix. Can't get in trouble in Phoenix, right?
Maybe. I mean, Sacramento, but that's punishment. Like, that's just straight up punishment.
That's banishment.
that is relegation, Holmes. And you're not going to
say about Oklahoma City. He can't get in trouble there, right?
Yeah, but are the Thunder? What are they going to give up for Ja Morant? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you want? That's cute. You want Williams? Oh, you want Holmgren? No. I mean, that's the thing. It's not the play. It's the behavior for Ja. Because when he plays, he's a very good player. I thought San Antonio, but it doesn't look like they need him. It looks like they're doing just fine on their own.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah, so Embiid, like, realistically, what are you getting for brittle-ass Joel Embiid? I don't know. Maybe a couple draft picks. Maybe some second rounders. Like, maybe a first rounder. I don't know. But you can't say that his best days aren't behind him, because his best days are absolutely behind him, right? That in his injuries have cost him a lot, right? And they've cost the Sixers a lot. As crazy as it sounds, I think Zion, the promise of Zion is still very tantalizing. Still very, very tantalizing for a team that needs somebody down low, right? It could be interesting. I think Zion will fetch you something. I think he could probably get you something. Now, are the Pelicans actually going to move him, because he's finally showing that this is who he could be? Mm-hmm. Right? Potential in 275 get you on the bus, as we know. But, you know, maybe a team has seen enough to where they make an intriguing offer. It is very interesting. It is intriguing.
Now, I mean, he had a really good season. Yeah. I mean, he was averaging 21 points a game. He played in 62 games.
Mm-hmm. I think Zion might get you the most. If you put him on the block, I think Zion might get you the most. In terms of
60% from the field.
That's amazing. That's a good year for him. That's a very good year for him. Ja's a change of scenery candidate. I don't see Embiid or Giannis. I just don't see it anymore. Maybe a couple years ago, but I think that ship has passed. And I think that ship needs to pass for these guys. And for Giannis, I mean, his team is looking for a coach. So there might be a scenario where the coach and he finally mesh, right? Because it didn't seem to, you know, it wasn't working with Terry Stotts. It wasn't working. It didn't really work out with Doc. Didn't work with Jason Kidd, really. All right. Who is going to unlock Giannis? Like, who's going to take Giannis to the next level? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But without Giannis, this team is awful. It's really bad.
But with him, they're not that much better.
No.
I mean, really, they both would do each other a service by separating and then allowing Milwaukee to get something for him would be the best thing for Milwaukee.
If he was healthy. But GMs know this. Like, you're not dealing with some moron. You're dealing with a guy who's been around the league and knows Giannis is damaged goods. I'm not giving you the sun and the moon and the stars. We're going to work this out. And if you want the sun and moon and the stars, okay, then you're paying a percentage of that contract. I'm not taking the whole nut. The whole nut. That's right. So you have to be shrewd about dealing with him. You have to be shrewd about dealing with Embiid. So, I don't know. I just, for some crazy reason, I think Zion might be the one to move, and Zion might get you the best package.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
All right, well, moving on to
packages.
Moving on to college basketball. This is for some of our listeners who asked us to talk about the portal. Men's college basketball has life in the off season thanks to the portal, aka free agency. Some guys have signed with new teams, while others are still taking trips to schools to see how much they can be compensated. St. John's, they signed somebody today. They happen to get an English point guard. That's pretty interesting. But outside of this English point guard, Quinn Ellis, they really haven't made any real big noise. They lost out on Ayo and Lefteris, who have hit the portal. So who would you like to see the Johnnies sign?
And Dylan Darling. He's gone too.
Yeah, screw him. He can't shoot. God, right, such a terrible shot. Nah, they lost him, and he was a good... He was a tough point guard, and he was a very good defender, but he couldn't shoot, and I didn't like him in the starting lineup. I liked Ian Jackson in the starting lineup. I liked it better when Dylan Darling was coming off the bench. But I understand what Skip was doing. But, I mean, we need to go to work, because a lot of these other teams have already got guys coming in the door.
You lost out on a lot of guys. I mean, you're
right. Right.
You lost out on a guy like David Punch. You talked about defensive players. He was one of the better defensive players available. Now he's gone from TCU to Texas. So you're in the world where you can get a guy from Texas to come to fucking Queens. Like, that's the thing.
You get a guy from North Carolina to come to Queens, apparently, too.
Exactly.
Which is crazy shit.
You can absolutely make this happen.
You can get a guy from North Carolina to go to Michigan and stay for a senior season, too.
It's one of those things that, though, it's wide open, man. It's absolutely wide
open. Well, I mean, I feel... Rick Pitino does his best work when he has a really good guard.
Mm-hmm.
Like a penetrating guard. A tall guard that can penetrate, kick, or even shoot the three. I mean, that's... Unfortunately, all those guys have gone to the NBA. There's no guy... At least, I don't know any guys in the portal that fit that description. However, there is one guy who is on Washington. Mm-hmm. He was on Washington last year. He hit the portal, and his name is Desmond Claude.
Yeah.
He's a 6'6 guard. I think I'd like to see them go after him, even though they've got this Ellis guy, which is fine. And the thing about Ellis is he's played professional overseas.
Right.
That's what we're getting now. Now you can get a professional basketball player to play in college. Wild shit. Wild shit. I like Abdul Bashir, who's a 6'7 small forward from Auburn. And I like Robert Miller, who's the power forward. He's 6'10 from LSU. You look at a team like Michigan, who won the championship this year, they won it with all transfers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm happy that Ian Jackson is staying. I think it's important to keep some guys, but you've got to be able to bring new guys in, assimilate them, and win games. I like the idea that Ruben Prey is staying. That's very important. But let's be real. They lost some big-time players. You lost Zuby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lost Hopkins. These are big-time players. And there's a high expectation in Queens now. You know, they really hang themselves on every single loss. You don't get a break. They expect you to win. We're paying you. We're paying them. We're paying everybody. We want W's. We want results. And although I'm sure they were happy that St. John's got out of the first weekend, I think they were expecting another showdown with UConn. They were expecting, you know, us to beat Duke, St. John's to beat Duke, and it just didn't happen. So I think Skip's got his work cut out for him, but I trust him. I trust him. I think he's one of the best coaches in the game. He's the godfather. He's the GOAT. And I think he'll be able to get a new regime, a new team in there, get them coached up and ready for the fall.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you like big guards, you're looking at a guy like, as of right now, they're still available, a guy like Zoom Jallo, who's coming from Washington, 6'4". You're looking at McNeil, 6'5", shot 43% from three.
That's a guy.
Yeah, that's a guy that you might want. A guy like Caden Mingo, Like, coming from Penn State, 6'3", freshman. So you can.
He did get the guard from Hofstra. Okay. I'm not really thrilled about that. I don't think he. I mean, I'm not. You know, he played for Hofstra. That doesn't really mean shit. Yeah, so Simeon Wilcher left Texas and went to Seton Hall. Yeah. You're a fucking loser. I don't understand what you left. You left St. John's to go to Texas, and then you leave Texas to go to Seton Hall. Like, what are you doing? Really, Boogie Flan is the one that kills me. The dude's from White Plains.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to play for John Calipari in Arkansas. Huh? Then last year he plays for Florida, right? Florida doesn't get out of the first weekend. Meanwhile, they won the championship last year. And you decide to stay there? Why would you stay there? They lost with you. You understand that the year before they won the championship without you, you got there and they lost with you. They didn't even get out of the first round. You would think you would come back up north to go to like UConn or St. John's. You're going to stay in Florida, dude? Your draft capital, your draft stock just went down. Down. Meanwhile, you could play in Madison Square Garden every night. You could play for Rick Pitino. What? Of course I'd want to play for St. John's. Of course I'd want to play in New York City. There's no better place to play basketball.
What's the salary? What's he getting? Yeah. What's he getting from Florida that he wasn't getting?
I don't know what Florida gave him, but they couldn't have given him that much money.
They had to have given him more than St. John's if he's willing to stay. Plus, it's the state of Florida.
Was it even a conversation? Did you call St. John's and ask them if they were interested in you? I mean, just
that's fair. Take
the temperature on the situation, or we're going to Arkansas? Who the fuck goes to Arkansas to play basketball?
I mean, this is basically restricted.
Would you go to Arkansas to play basketball?
No, I wouldn't go to Arkansas.
Who goes to Arkansas to play basketball? Let me see. I can go to Arkansas and play basketball, or I could go to Madison Square Garden. Huh? What?
I mean, he was going for the coach. Like, if John Calipari was in, like, Wyoming, he would have been on the first fucking flight to Wyoming.
Jackson
like,
Hole?
Yeah. Like, if Calipari took over for Doug Gottlieb at Green Bay, this dude would be fitting a parka. He'd be fitting himself in a parka. Like, clearly, he just wanted to play for John Calipari, and he would have played for John Calipari wherever he went. But it's a real thing. We're in the era NIL should just be called restricted free agency, because at that point, what can you do as a restricted free agent? You can take your offer sheet, go back to your original club, and you can say, "Hey, this is what I have. Can you match this,
bitches?
If you can't match this, then I'm fucking go." And nice knowing you. I'll see you. But they need to figure this shit out. They absolutely need to figure this shit out.
I just think it hurts allegiances. I don't see who's going to be back in all these colleges all these years later. I really don't get it. I think, you know, we had, for instance, during the Final Four, we had the Fab Five on, who... they've had their ups and downs with Michigan since they left. But at the end of the day, they were the Fab Five. They came on the telecast as proud Michigan alum and talked about the game. Now, 10 years from now, are you going to get these guys that went from North Carolina to Michigan, then to the pros, or these guys that went from Arkansas to Florida, then to the pros, are they going to come on and talk about their school? Are they going to pay a kid to go play for Florida since they went to Florida for just a year and then went to the, you know, NBA? Right. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out.
Well, the concept, it kills the concept of a booster. It really does. Right? Like the T. Boone Pickenses of the world. Like, that's... You know, the allegiance is with the fans. It's not with the players anymore. And that's the thing. When you get into that position, right, it's the other departments. It's the other students. It's the other parts of the college that are going to fund that athletic experience. That's usually what happened with these booster programs. It's the other alumni. Right? Miami was different because basically it was NFLU. You could look at, there's Ray Lewis. There's Michael Irvin. And they came to the games and they were investing in a team. A team like Texas, they were getting fucking oil money, dude. You're getting SMU was getting fucking oil money. Where's the influx of cash coming from in future generations? Tech? Like, what is the, you know, what is the future fund for these programs? I don't know. But it does, you bring up a very interesting question. You have a guy like Boogie Flan who's going to go to three schools in 3 years. Like, it's like, it was like the question about what cap are you going to wear in the Hall of Fame? It's like, okay, what school are you going to represent? It's very, you know, it's unseemly.
Joe Burrow was another one, right? He started at Ohio State, but he finished at LSU. That's where he played.
And Russ, a whole pack of Badgers.
Right. You had Cam, who started at Florida, then went to Auburn. You know, so it's going to be, I'm really curious to see how it all plays out.
Right. But who do they identify with? But if you were to inject a little truth serum in them, I mean, you figure Joe Burrow is going to identify with LSU because he won there. And you figure Cam is going to, identify with Auburn because he won there.
Yes.
So, like, I think.
But what if you don't win?
It's a great question. And these
there's a whole bunch of guys that didn't win.
There are lots of guys who don't win.
Right.
The JT Daniels is still trying to win. I think he's what, on year 9?
It's like Carson Beck.
Doctor.
Who does he identify with?
Dr. Beck. Yes. Yes. Dr. Beck. Elevate your protein game with Clear Whey Protein Powder. Lactose-free, sugar-free, and refreshingly delicious. Perfect for a flavorful, protein-packed boost. That's Clear with a K. Go to clearprotein.com, enter promo code DNZ for 20% off any product. That's clearprotein.com. Clear with a K.
All right, let's talk about the Mets. The Mets are on a bit of a skid, and the gaffe at shortstop by Francisco Lindor did not help things. The star shortstop seems to be running to back up the second baseman on a ball hit to second base instead of covering the bag to help with the force out at second base and possibly turning too. Where are you going, man? So what is worse? The 6-game skid or the star player not knowing his role on a routine ball hit to second base?
You can't dispute that Francisco Lindor has been playing with his head wedged firmly up.
Listen,
his
my
ass.
Thing is I played second base.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going? Like, how you're running to the other side of the bag to back me up? Like, how bad am I? I got this, bro. Get on the base.
Right. It's fundamentals. And you can't say that, oh, it's because you don't have reps with Marcus Semien. That requires no reps.
Like, what are you talking about?
That requires no reps.
What did Mike used to tell us? When you're waiting for the pitch to be delivered, what you should be thinking about is, wait, what am I going to do if it's hit to me? And what am I going to do if it's hit to X, Y, and Z?
Yes.
So what the fuck were you thinking?
Clearly, he's not. And his offensive woes are going into the field with him. And the team is pressing. He is pressing. They've lost 6 in a row. They've been shut out in half of them. I was not confident that they weren't going to get no hit by some scrub last night on the Dodgers. And it wasn't even...
They're going to lose tonight. They're playing the Dodgers tonight. They're going to lose tonight.
I mean,
no Dodgers.
You have McClain and Yamamoto. That's okay. Like, that's at least...
That's a representative matchup.
Okay?
We're going to lose that one. We got
that. Peterson...
You knew that before we even showed up.
Peterson has been fucking awful. Senga has been awful. Mania's been the bullpen.
I'm surprised they're letting him play.
Oh, don't worry. There'll be that phantom IL stint, and he'll be out for 2 months. Like, it'll be some, like...
And then come back in September.
It'll be some...
It'll be some
fingernail issue. He'll be out till September. He'll forget his mechanics. And, like, he'll have to build everything from the ground back up. And it's the same bullshit with Kodai Senga. So, Manaea can't break a pane of glass with his fastball. So, he's in a long reliever role. Okay, that's fine. Peralta's been getting beat around. That's not what you were hoping for when you made that trade. Tobias Myers didn't have a great inning in his last outing. They may be moving him into the rotation. So the Mets are in fucking shambles right now. But here's the thing. Here's the crazy part about what's going on. And what did we say? It's the Dodgers and it's everybody else. The Dodgers are what, 13-4 on the year? Everybody else is at least seven losses. Has like six or seven losses. I think the next closest team is the Padres. And then the fucking Pirates. Tell me it's early.
But the Mets are in last place.
Right? Yes, they're in last place in their division. But the Nationals are 7-9. That's fourth place. It's not like they're buried. Nobody's buried. That's the crazy thing so far. The Giants. We've been talking about how shitty the Giants are. They're 6-11. The Rockies are 6-10. The Red Sox are 6-10. These are not insurmountable. They're not 1-15. Right? The Cubs. Right? We were hyping up the Cubs. They're 7-9. They're 7-9. Last place. It's early. The Soto injury does not help Lindor. Because lineup sucks. That lineup fucking sucks. I'm sorry. Simeon, okay.
Hot garbage.
Roberts had his moments. Ben should probably be in AAA. Like, Ben, I understand you want to break camp with the kid. Give, you know.
Who's his, Benji?
Carson Benji. Now, the reason why he got the job is because Tauchman's knee exploded. Let's be real here. Tauchman was going to take that job if his leg didn't explode. And who would you rather have right now? Mike Tauchman, a professional hitter, or a guy who can barely hit his weight?
Tauchman.
I'm taking Tauchman. 100%. You got this Polanco experiment at first base. He's already hurt. He's DHing. Vientos has been hitting. Vientos has been hot and cold. He had a little bit of a resurgence. Now he's not so great. Beatty has been okay. Like, he's had his moments. There hasn't been enough moments. Bichette, finally, his first there hasn't been enough moments. Francisco Alvarez, is probably the best hitter on this team.
What was he, 243 hitter?
Yeah, with five homers, I think. So,
wow.
You know.
That's damn good.
It's good. Like, this is the guy that they thought Francisco Alvarez was going to be. But the rest of the lineup in pulling his weight.
How about the damn Marlins? They're pesky.
The Marlins.
They fight you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It's mediocre. Like, this is the parody that guys like Brent Rooker were talking about when they were saying how it's all even. Like, we have the best league because of all the parody. Yeah. They're all mediocre. It's all mediocre. Now, as far as Lindor goes, it's a bad look. Defensively, you can't be making these fucking plays. You can't. If you're going to fuck up that spectacularly, you better be fucking hitting.
Not only that, but own it.
Yes.
Don't make up some fucking excuse.
I mean, it's not Jazz Chisholm level bad in terms of excuse. Like, it's cold. I don't like playing in the cold. Like, like, thanks, buddy.
Bitch, please.
Jesus. Like, you play in the Bronx in March and early April. It's going to be cold.
You know what the weather here is in October, asshole?
It's cold. I don't worry. We never make it that far anyway. Ah, fuck. But it's a bad look. Now, you can tell that he's pressing. You can absolutely tell that Francisco Lindor is trying to do too much right now. Will he shake out of it? Yes. Will it help when Juan Soto's back? Yes. But this lineup, he's going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting. He's going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting. You lost Nimmo. You lost Pete. The lineup was longer. The lineup was absolutely longer. Will Polanco figure it out? Maybe. Possibly. Will Bichette get going? You hope so. Because it's a one-year rental. He's got an opt-out after this year. Roberts looked good. So, But the 6-game skid could actually get Carlos Mendoza fired. It's that
really?
There are rumblings in the Twitterverse. So as anemic as this team has been, what move are you making? You're not getting rid of any of the guys that you just acquired. You're not trading your captain. Like, this would be he would be the sacrificial lamb. Because they look so terrible. This will be 7 in a row if they lose tonight to Yamamoto and the Dodgers. And God forbid if they don't score a fucking run. You got swept by the A's. You got swept by the A's. Jeff McNeil hit 6 for 11 in that series. Like, that was a stick it up your ass moment. That was a little Rick Vaughn right there. But it's all terrible right now. Now you figure they have an equatorially hot streak in them somewhere deep in their core, because that's what this team does. You get the hope, they can't lose. This is amazing, and then shit hits the fanny.
They can't lose. This is amazing. We're amazing. We're the amazing Mets.
It's the amazings. We're back
to
the
amazings. It's amazing. We're amazing.
God,
you're amazing.
God damn it! It goes from we're amazing to
cover the bag.
We back.
Where are you going? Is he running behind me?
How many outs are there? Oh shit! I don't remember.
Oh my god.
No.
I just think about when, like, that second baseman was like, where the fuck is he going?
He's like, oh shit.
He should have just threw it at first.
Yeah.
I don't know why he tried to beat the guy to second base. That wasn't going to happen, dude.
Yeah. Oh my god.
He caused such an emergency on his part. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what was happening.
You can't make this shit up. You just can't make this shit up. Like, the only thing that would have been more Mets is if they, like, ran into each other. It's like, I got it!
Oh, wait a minute. Did you see the other play of Francisco Alvarez?
Oh, God.
He was calling time.
Oh, with Kimbrel. Yeah, I saw that.
The pitcher, and the guy wasn't stopping. Get away! Are you crazy?
It's Kimbrel, man. Like, I'm not stopping Craig Kimbrel.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, time out.
You're going to catch that thing?
God damn it.
You're going to catch this thing?
Oh my God. That's crazy that Craig Kimbrel's on the Mets. It's so fucking... That is a sight, man. That's a fucking sight and a half. But that already goes to show you, they've already had to designate 2 guys for assignment. That bullpen is a fucking... You know, Weaver got tagged for 3 runs the other day. I think Williams has been okay. Like, Williams is the only one who hasn't really been touched up. So, we have truly...
Stanek back in here.
We've entered the end times. Devin Williams has been good. We are truly in the end times, my friend.
Is Holmes hurt?
I think he's going on the IL. I think he has a hamstring injury.
Nice.
So, that's what's paving the way for 87-mile-an-hour Sean Manaea. You know. Oh God, it's getting late early. Like, you can't withstand all of this stuff. You don't have enough players at AAA to withstand this. Especially the real kill shot was Soto. Like, the one time he tried to run hard, he pulled his fucking
my leg.
God damn it! But you knew it. Like, the moment he started, like, it's either calf or hamstring. Shit. It was the same thing, man. I remember that one time Robbie Cano tried to stretch a single into a double. He pulled his hamstring, and he was done. It's like, the one time you try to run hard. God damn it. What the hell? You son of a bitch.
Wow.
Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next.
All right, joining us on the In Route today, you might know him from hosting his own podcast, Tri-State Hockey, Daily Faceoff. Arthur Staple, thanks for coming on the show today.
Good to see you, boys. How's everyone doing?
Living Fantastic. The dream, Arthur. Living the dream.
Ready
what
for
we like
some,
to hear.
Ready for some playoff hockey. Well, we'll start you off, sir, with this. The President's Trophy winners. For the fourth time in the club's history, the Colorado Avalanche are taking it home, amassing 117 points with two games to go. As we know, the last President's Trophy team to win the Stanley Cup was the 2012-2013 Blackhawks. So will this be the team to break the streak?
It's a good question. You know, the first half of the season, really, that I think they lost maybe four or five times in regulation. They were on a real roll, and even in that division in the Central with Dallas and Minnesota, who are really two of the other maybe half a dozen teams you'd think were legitimate cup contenders as we went through this season. You had to say they were the team to beat. Still saying that they're the team to beat, even though they've cooled off a little bit. I think that's actually a good thing. You can't sustain a crazy pace. I feel like we saw it with the Bruins a few years ago, where they set the regular season record with whatever it was, 135 points. Yeah. Went out in the first round of Florida. You got to be able to take your foot off the gas at some point during a season. And I feel like that long Olympic break, even though they had a lot of Olympians, they were able to kind of reset a little bit. You know, that I think their goaltending situation is a little bit funky. You know, Mackenzie Blackwood is kind of the nominal number one, but Scott Wedgwood, who's a veteran backup, has really outplayed him for a lot of the year. So I'm curious to see what their goalie decisions are going to look like when we get into the playoffs. But you also look at kind of the bottom of that Western Conference. You've got LA kind of sitting in that bottom seed now as a potential matchup with them, with only 89 points. And I think it's 22 regulation wins in 81 games. You're not sensing a lot of threats from a lot of the other teams in the West. You know, that Dallas-Minnesota winner is going to be a tough out in the second round. But I feel like if Colorado gets past that, they're really the team to beat, kind of clear head and shoulders above. So, you know, they faltered the last couple seasons in the playoffs, and obviously they won the cup, whatever it was, 4 years ago now.
Right.
But Cale Makar is healthy. Nathan MacKinnon's healthy. I feel like, you know, they added Nazem Kadri back, who was on their cup winning team. They traded back for him from Calgary. He's, you know, and now he's kind of a depth piece. They just seem to have a lot of good pieces in a lot of spots right now. And I think the fact that they're not coming off a cup win, they're not necessarily coasting, I think they understand that this is the time of year, you know, that core has been together long enough. They know that they need to ramp it up this time of year, play better than they played the last few springs. So I don't know if I'd put them as the odds-on favorite, but pretty darn close to it.
Yeah, they definitely got to stay hungry. My dark horse is the Wild. I think Minnesota is a really good team, and they just seem to be that spice, that hungry, that good combination of grit and just, you know, tough play. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Last year's runner-up, the Edmonton Oilers, are wounded going into the playoffs. Leon Draisaitl has been out with a lower body injury since March. The Oilers are optimistic he can return, but it's unlikely for the first round. They still have Connor McDavid, though. So how far can the Oilers go without Draisaitl?
I mean, Connor McDavid, we've seen him do it even in the finals a couple years ago when he won the Conn Smythe Trophy in a losing effort. This guy can make a lot of things happen just by the force of his talent. You know, I feel like they're not in as good a position as they've been the last couple years going in that Pacific Division. I think it was McDavid himself. What did he call it? A pillow fight a couple weeks ago to see who was going to win it.
You're right.
It's about the smartest, most accurate thing I've heard about that division. You see what Vegas has done with John Tortorella coming in. They've kind of nosed ahead, and we'll see these next couple of days who shakes out where. But if Edmonton plays Anaheim, that's kind of an interesting matchup to me. You know, they've played LA so often. I think it's, what is it, four straight years in the playoffs in the first round, a team that they know well. If they don't get LA this time, Anaheim's kind of a wild card. They haven't been in the playoffs a long time. A lot of veteran guys they've brought in.
A couple of former Rangers over there.
But that Ducks team has a lot of youth and a lot of speed, and I feel like they match up well with Edmonton. And really, you know, as always, the question mark for the Oilers is in goal. They gave up on Stuart Skinner, made the move to trade him to Pittsburgh for Tristan Jarry, kind of a one-for-one spot, and Jarry's been arguably worse than Skinner has ever been in a Edmonton net. So now it kind of falls to Connor Ingram, who's been putting his career back together after, you know, going into the assistance program for anxiety last couple of years ago. He had a decent run in Phoenix and then kind of flamed out of the league, signed an AHL contract, turned it into an NHL contract, and now he's the guy in net. So he can get hot. He's got a decent track record, but I still feel like the Oilers just look a lot shakier than they've looked, and obviously missing Draisaitl, you know, McDavid can do a lot, but he can do a lot more when Draisaitl's out there with him, especially on that potent power play. Evan Bouchard, you know, these are guys that are certainly playoff tested, but it's also a lot of hockey that they've played in the last 2 years with nothing to show for it. So you wonder if they can ramp it back up a third time, knowing that they're, like you said, they're wounded, knowing that maybe they're not as solid as they were in net, even when with Stuart Skinner, who had a lot of question marks. So, you know, I think McDavid puts a lot on his shoulders and he usually comes through. If he doesn't come through this time, whether it's against Anaheim or maybe against Vegas in the second round, it wouldn't totally surprise me to see them bow out early, maybe do some, maybe a little bit more than just kind of their usual minor changes here and there. I wonder about Chris Knobloch, their coach, whether he'll last in a next season. And I wonder if they start to understand now that it's time to clean the slate defensively and in net and make some more drastic changes than they've made.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't see it. I don't see how the team got better from last year. Yeah. And they're just, it's almost like they're due to trip up. Like I can't see them going to the finals. I can't see them winning the finals. And I could totally see them getting ousted in the first round in a 7-game series. You know, it goes the distance, but they just, you know, just come up short. Maybe it's just one goal, you know, every game. It's just they always lose by a goal or, you know, in the last second. It just seems destined to happen. It's just, I don't know how he gets over this hump. I don't know what he has to do. I mean, Draisaitl's been his, you know, teammate and kind of like his partner in crime this whole time, and they just can't get it done. And it's sad because you want to see the best players play together and you want to see them go far into the playoffs, but this might be their last shot here.
Yeah. You hate to think that they wasted all of this opportunity because they wouldn't move on fast enough from Stuart Skinner.
Right.
I mean, you know, I feel like Skinner actually was pretty good, all things considered, the last two playoff runs. But I also just kind of feel like, and you see it with Florida, obviously injuries are one thing, but you know, 100 games a year takes a toll on a lot of guys, and it's not just the physical toll, it's the mental toll. And especially when you've gone that far 2 years in a row and not come away with any hardware, the mental strain, I feel, you know, it makes me think of like the Buffalo Bills from the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, you get that close that many times in a row, it's hard to ramp it back up next time around because you know what the disappointment feels like. It's probably the most hollow feeling you can have, and to do it twice in a row to the same team. And now this third time in a row, you're kind of like, oh, we're not even where we used to be.
Right.
And we played 200 plus games the last 2 years, last 2+ years. It's a hard one to get over. And I feel like maybe a team in that situation needs to take a step back and make some real changes before they take another step forward.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. In recent weeks, there have been some high profile coaching changes. Old friend Torts is back in the saddle, manning the bench in Vegas, 6-0-1 since he's taken over for Bruce Cassidy. More recently, the Islanders ousted Patrick Waugh and replaced him with Peter DeBoer.
What insight can you give us regarding these moves and who will have a bigger impact this season and beyond?
You know, it's something that's pretty rare. And obviously, Lou Lamoriello has been the Islanders GM for the last little while, but up until this season. And he's the guy that kind of pioneered that last couple weeks of the season firing. It worked to perfection in the year 2000 when he fired Robbie Fatorik with the Devils, and Larry Robinson came in and took over, and they won the Stanley Cup. He tried it again about 6-7 years later with Claude Julien. Didn't work. But I feel like, you know, we're at a point now in the NHL where at any given time, two or three legit Hall of Fame coaches are available. You know, you can argue Hall of Fame credentials for coaches in the NHL, but you've got guys like John Tortorella, Peter DeBoer, Peter Laviolette, even now Bruce Cassidy is out of job. These are guys in the top 20 in coaching wins, in coaching in games coached in the history of the NHL. You saw it when Joel Quenneville came back with Anaheim. You know, these are guys that are not just difference makers behind the bench, they're turnaround artists. You've got DeBoer, you know, comes into an Islander team. Obviously, they're not going to make the playoffs. He only had a week and a half to try to turn around a pretty huge slide. But even going into next season, his first full year, his last four jobs, first year in San Jose, he goes to first year in New Jersey, he goes to a Stanley Cup final. First year in San Jose, goes to a Stanley Cup final. First year in Dallas and Vegas conference final. This is a guy who comes in and changes a lot and gets guys to buy in. Peter Laviolette, same way, you know. So
So why do you think the Islanders waited so long? I mean, they probably were thinking about this, right?
I don't think this was a move to save this season. Matthew Darche is in his first year as general manager, and he said a lot of the time from the beginning, you know, when he took the job all the way through the season, he's still figuring out what this team is all about. You know, the vibes were so high with them, with what Matthew Schaefer was able to do at the beginning of the year. Ilya Sorokin was playing like a surefire Vezina Trophy winner for most of the year. And they started the slide really started after the Olympic break, where they weren't defending very well and they weren't scoring enough timely goals, and the goaltending wasn't as good as it had been. But I think he was willing to give Patrick Waas more of a chance to right the ship because of what had gone on the first 50, 60 games. And I don't think, I genuinely believe that Matthew Darche was thinking, let me evaluate here the whole year. We get in the playoffs. If we win a round, we win two rounds, then we'll figure it all out. But I think as the slide continued and you saw what other teams were doing, Toronto already fired their GM. Mm-hmm. So maybe their Craig Berube's out there. Nashville, maybe Andrew Brunette will be out there. New Jersey's now in the mix for a new GM and possibly Sheldon Keefe being out there. You know, once the season ends, two or three other teams might be changing their coaches if they don't make the playoffs. So, you know, two things. Patrick Waugh, maybe not your guy, still trying to figure it out, but not for sure. And Peter DeBoer is going to have a long list of calls the minute the season ends, maybe even before. So if you know that's the guy you want for next season and beyond, and you've convinced, you're finally convinced that Patrick Waugh is not the guy, you got to be aggressive now. And that's an aspect of the NHL that I feel like is mirroring some other sports, mostly the NFL, where, you know, NFL, you tend to wait till Black Monday, but you know that people have been in contact with coaches and executives before then. You have to lay that groundwork. And I think in the NHL, with the season going on in so many games, it's harder to do that. But I do believe Matthew Darche when he says after they lost in Carolina a week ago Saturday, he put in the call to Peter DeBoer. And I'm not saying that there hasn't been any third parties hadn't reached out to each other to sort of gauge interest to that point. But Saturday night, he reaches out, and Sunday morning, it's done. He's the new coach. So you got to act fast, especially when you've got quality coaches out there. And I think Vegas doing it the week before kind of opened the door to teams saying, like, hey, why not? If we're going to eat this money, you know, there's 2 years left for Patrick Waugh. He's paying Peter DeBoer upward, you know, a little more than $5 million a year. He's already the third highest paid coach. So ownership has to sign off on spending that kind of money on paying two coaches. But I think this is part of their plan going forward. You know, there's a new GM, there's a new coach now, and I think this coming off season for the Islanders, especially without playoffs, they got some stuff to figure out because they certainly have picked the best coach that they could pick.
You think the Peter was their guy? It wasn't like they were interested in Torts and then Torts got taken?
No, Torts is a different beast. Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee out there in Vegas, they are big on, I think they felt like, we have a Stanley Cup contending team, and we're just not playing like it. We need a guy who's going to kick us in the pants a little bit. And Torts can coach. You know, I've known John for 20 plus years, and he kind of de-emphasizes that aspect. But he is an X's and O's guy. He knows what to do behind the bench. There's a reason that Mike Sullivan made sure to have him behind the bench over in Milan for that gold medal winning U.S. team. He isn't just a motivator or a guy who says funny things or just speaks off the cuff the way that he does. He knows what he's doing behind a bench. So I think there is that aspect of it, but there is definitely the aspect of if you're a guy on Vegas and Torts comes in, you're sitting up a little bit straighter. You're saying, oh, okay, they mean business now. Bruce Cassidy is a great coach. He coached him to a Stanley Cup. But I think Torts is a guy who can get everybody's attention, especially in this short window, especially a team that I think management feels and ownership feels out there should be contending for a cup every year. So I'm curious to see how they'll do in the playoffs. Like we were talking about with Edmonton, the path in the Pacific is pretty wide open. Torts gives you those extra points to get first place, to get home ice all the way through until they get to the conference final, then it's definitely worth doing. And kind of, you know, Torts isn't signed beyond this year. I think they're going to kind of wait and see how he feels and how the situation looks once their season is officially over. But an interesting choice, and I think a little different situation than the Islanders have.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you're looking at a team that's already established, and you're bringing in an established guy who's going to work with the veterans. He's going to make that happen. The Islanders, you're looking at a youth movement. You're looking at, you know, with Matthew, especially with their young superstar in Schaefer. Torts isn't really great for the young kids sometimes. we'll be polite, and we'll say that. Check out part two of our interview with the Tri-State Hockey Pod's Arthur Staple later this week.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, Dee?
I don't.
Manny Machado. Bush League some bitch. Freaking Bush League. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
Oh, man, I've got so many. All right, so I'm going to lead off with New York Yankees second baseman Jazz Chisholm, blaming his terrible start to the season on the cold weather in the Bronx.
I'm cold.
I can't feel my bat. I can't feel my toes. FYI, it's the same weather you're going to have in April is going to be what you have in May, asshole. And it's going to be what you're going to have in October. So I don't know what you're going to do. Jazz Chisholm, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got the manager of the New York Yankees, Aaron Boone. Last night, Boone decided to rest Ben Rice, who leads all major league hitters with a 1.256 OPS, and he has the highest batting average on the team. And you decided to sit the 27-year-old against the Angels. Now, the Yankees did pull out the game, but geez, man, let this guy cook. Why are you taking him out? He's hot. Aaron Boone, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, I have Red Sox pitcher Garrett Crochet.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I couldn't believe it. I texted you at around 9:30. The game is over. It's only the second inning. He gave up 10 earned runs in an inning and two-thirds. 10 earned runs. His ERA is 7.58. Garrett Crochet, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z? I
thought you were starting tonight. I did. Oh, sorry. I didn't start the game until the second inning.
Jesus
Christ. Oh, my God. I think we got to start with Sergio Garcia. We're talking about the master, but we got to talk about crybaby Sergio slamming his club, breaking his driver, destroying the tee box, just being the all-time petulant douchebag that people thought he could be. This is almost as bad as when he spit in the cup. Like, remember when he spit in the cup? That's some prime douchebag Sergio Garcia. He did apologize. So I'll give him credit, but that doesn't really undo what we saw. Sergio Garcia, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the New York Mets. 6-game losing streak, 3 shutouts out of those 6 games, and they got the Dodgers. They have the Dodgers. What more can you say? Polanco's hurt. Jared Young is now dealing with some issues. Soto's hurt. Lindor can't remember how to play shortstop. It's getting late early. It's getting late early unless they turn this shit around. New York Mets, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Inter Miami firing Javier Mascherano. Yeah, he stepped away. He quit for personal reasons. Just like Tata Martino did that when they hired Mascherano. Let's be real here. He didn't want to fucking coach Messi anymore. It's like, fuck this, I'm out. I can't deal with this bullshit. Can't deal with this diva bullshit. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Cool. You're cool. Fuck you, I'm out. And that you're cool was to David Beckham, mind you. So, Inter Miami is now going to be on its third manager of the Messi era. Okay. Sure. Fine. Why not? Inter Miami, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And a bonus, Doc Rivers, out on your ass as coach of the Bucks. We didn't like it when you got hired. We were confused by it. And we were proven right. So, bully for us. Bully, bully. Doc Rivers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.